Today we will hear Queen Esther. I'll be reading from the Bible Stories Every Child Should Know, written by Kenneth N. Taylor, illustrated by Jenny Brake. This will conclude our excursion into Old Testament Bible stories, and then in a couple of weeks we'll explore some New Testament stories, but using the same resource. As we prepare to hear this story today, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are in your bulletin or on the screen. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So hear now the story about Esther. Some years later, the king of Persia was a man named Xerxes. Some of the Jewish people still lived in Persia. They had stayed there instead of going back to their own land of Judah. Mordecai, a Jewish man, was a helper at the palace, and he had a young cousin named Esther. The king loved Esther and made her queen, but he didn't know she was Jewish. Haman, a man of the palace, was in charge of all the leaders. He didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Since Mordecai was Jewish, Haman asked the king to make a law to have all Jewish people murdered. He said they did not obey the king's laws, but that was not true. Mordecai heard about the law, so he asked Queen Esther to beg the king to save the lives of the Jewish people. Esther knew she could be killed for going to the king when he had not asked her to come. But if he held out his gold rod to her, she would be safe. To help her be brave, Mordecai wrote her a message that said, "Who knows? Perhaps God made you queen at this time just so you can help the Jewish people." Queen Esther went and stood in front of the king as he sat on his throne. God was with her, for the king held out his gold rod to her. And he said, "Queen Esther, I will give you whatever you wish, even if it is half of my kingdom." Esther answered, "Please come to dinner and bring Haman with you." So the king and Haman went to dinner with Esther. At the table, the king asked Esther again, What is it you wish? And Esther answered, "Please come with Haman to another dinner tomorrow. Then I will tell you what I want." When Haman went home, he called for his friends and for his wife. He bragged about how the king had made him more important than anyone else and how Queen Esther had asked him to come to dinner two times. Then he said, "But I can't really be happy as long as Mordecai won't bow down to me." His wife and friends said, "Make a place to hang Mordecai and ask the king to let you do it." Haman was pleased with this idea, so he had the work done. Then he went to the palace to talk to the king. That night, King Xerxes couldn't sleep. He told a helper to bring him the book about the things that had happened while he was king. As the book was read to him, he learned that Mordecai had once saved his life. When the king's helpers told him that Haman wanted to see him, he said, "Yes, tell him to come in." Then king said, "Haman, what is the greatest thing I could do to honor a man who has helped me?" Haman thought he was the one the king wanted to honor. So he said, "Let one of your most important leaders put your robe on the man and lead him through the city streets on your horse. Have the leader shout, 'See how the king is honoring this man.'" "Good," the king said to Haman, "take these robes and get my horse. Then do for Mordecai all the things you have talked about." Well, there was nothing Haman could do but obey the king. So he put the king's robes on Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets. And Haman shouted, "See how the king is honoring this man?" And afterward, Haman hurried home, hoping no one would see him. At Queen Esther's second dinner, she told the king about Haman's plan to kill Mordecai and all the rest of her people. So the king said to hang Haman instead of Mordecai. Then the king said that the Jewish people could fight anyone who tried to hurt them, so they did. Although no one thought much about God in those days, God was still there. And one day God would send another deliverer who would save his people, this time forever. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Friends, I invite you to read Esther from whatever biblical translation you may have. Today we will focus on Queen Esther, and so I invite you now to pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we listen to stories in ways that are approachable and easy to understand, challenge us this day to open our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. That as we try to live a life of faith following in the footsteps of Jesus, that what we hear through your word and through the spoken words of my mouth, may they point us to truth, to you, to your glory, and your glory alone. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have been reading from Bible stories every child should know. And each week I've had a word that's kind of tied in the story and what I hope we would be able to take away from our time of worship together. Why do we come to worship, right? We come so that we can offer thanksgiving to God. We come that we may hear a word from God. Is God still speaking to us? We come that we may receive the gift of grace, that we may grow in Christian perfection and live a life and bear witness to the truth of Christ's offering for us. So what does that have to do with Queen Esther? So let me situate this story. So Persia is the Middle East, the Turkey region, okay? And it's also where the Jewish people were taken into exile, right? And because they were taken into exile, they were eventually given permission to return back to Jerusalem, to Judah, to rebuild their temple that had been destroyed, to regain that homeland that had been promised to them for so long. What we know is that, at least in hearing this story, that there were some of God's people who chose to remain where they were. And we refer to these God's people, these Jewish people, as the diaspora, the spreading of the Jewish people into different communities. Had it not been for this exile and those being willing to stay where they were, we may not have seen the spread of Judaism quite like we have, because they made that conscious decision to reimagine their lives of being God's chosen people in a different land, and yet still retain those promised aspects of life as being God's chosen people. If you read the story of Esther, the entire book, here are some things that you need to know. God is not ever mentioned. This story does, because we're reading it as a Bible story. We want to make sure kids know that God is part of the story. But if you actually read Esther in your Bibles, God is not mentioned a single time. Not by reference, not by prayer. It is a story of a king, a servant, and the Jewish people, particularly Mordecai and Esther. Do y'all know of any other books in the Bible where God is not mentioned? Just by a quick show of hands, how many of you knew that about Esther? Well, I know Philip did. Thank you. Right? But for us, we're like, how can you have a book of the Bible about God for God's people that never mentions God at all? That really challenges us to really reflect on the story and think about where we may see God working in and through that and what might be the message for us. How many of you have gone into places where you bear your faith? Oh, she is asleep. Good job. And God is never mentioned. You know what I mean? Like, you go maybe, you know, I don't know. But in our workplaces, is God ever mentioned? but you yourself are bearing witness to God into those places. If you go to the grocery store, does anybody say, I welcome you in the name of God to your local grocer. Enjoy today's fruits and vegetables and daily specials. No, we would think they would be kind of weird, right? Or if we go to, I'm thinking about Logan's story about the roller coaster. And for those of you who may not know, I actually operated a roller coaster in my teen years. Be terrified. I was on the mic and had the controls. And I say, welcome aboard to your roller coaster. Imagine if I said, your life is in God's hands today. Of course, I didn't say that. I did say, please keep your hands and arms inside the car at all times and do not exit until it comes to a complete and final stop. Enjoy your ride, right? So we see that and we laugh because the reality is our lives today does not have that common language of God's interweaving into the day-to-day. If anything, we are living in a society that is called post-Christendom. That the highlights of faith was way back in the 1950s, where the center of life was Sundays, where stores were closed, people went to worship, people gathered with their families, they would sit on the front porch and the kids were told to go be free, like, you know, range chickens out in the yard, but come back when you hear the dinner bell ring, right? Am I capturing it that well? Yes. Those days are long gone, right? So we hear this story about King Xerxes, who really doesn't, you know, maybe he knows of the people within, but never really makes this connection to Mordecai and Esther, to God's chosen people. He saw the beauty of Queen Esther and wanted to have her as his wife and married her. Now, Mordecai, you know, obviously challenged Haman's power structure. Do we ever run into people who want to have ultimate power? I was walking through the kitchen this morning, and I don't even know why, but I said, ultimate power corrupts, or absolute power corrupts absolutely. Have y'all ever heard that, or am I making that up? Yeah, right? And so, you know, and it's just in this season where I just think, it's the powers and the principalities of the world that want to keep themselves above others or keep people in places or not have the resources that they need. I began watching the Simone Biles on Netflix. Have you seen this? Simone Biles Rising. I'm about halfway through the first one. And when she stepped down out of the Tokyo Olympics in 2020, that there were so many people who would not acknowledge her mental health. Or her well-being, or the need to be made whole. They discounted it. And sometimes I wonder when we go into a place and we act in a way that challenges the power and principalities of the world, that people automatically discount our motivation or why we do the things that we do. When I would probably hazard a guess that you make conscientious choices, conscientious decisions on a daily basis, where at the core of your identity is your faith in Christ. And what is the greatest commandment that God has asked of us? To love God and love one another as yourself. Right? That at the core of our identity, the core of Jesus coming into the world, was this idea that love is to be at the heart of who we are, how we are, and how we engage in the world. And sometimes that position means that we may step into some spaces that make us really uncomfortable, make some really difficult choices. Queen Esther knew that she could not allow for the genocide of her people, and she had to speak out against it. She risked her own life in order to speak to the king on behalf of God's people. Where else have we heard this story before? Who has offered their life for the sake of God's people? Thank you. I see your mouth moving. Jesus, right? That we see this, and even though God is never mentioned, the themes of God, God's action in the world for us standing on this side of the resurrection is so visible to us. And then we see other stories about the king calling the one who wants to put Mordecai really in a low place, right? Elevate him in a way that challenges Haman's position and authority. Which then also makes me think, do we ever work actively to lift up those that the world wants to keep down? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where are some of those situations that that might exist? Maybe food insecurity? Access to good schooling, access to good quality health care. Where else? Ms. Deeney? Foster care, absolutely. Perhaps housing. Is there enough equitable housing for the people in our community? And are we speaking against gentrification and outpricing people? Right? Those are justice issues when we think about what is it the basic needs of people, that doesn't God care about everyone? And if we truly hold Jesus at the core of who we are, then we are to care for all whom God loves. Question is, do we have courage? Do you have the courage to stand in the face of injustice? Do you have the courage to speak out against those who are not proclaiming a word of hope or love or grace? Friends, today we have reaffirmed our baptismal covenant together. As we've brought Richie into God's family, as we've welcomed Miss Emma into the family of God, into that universal church. And I feel like I need to say this because I actually have a t-shirt that reads this. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Does that sound like what Queen Esther was doing here? The evil and injustice that was going to be perpetrated against God's people, she had the courage to sacrifice herself for the sake of others. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you that not all of us are going to have to necessarily put our lives on the line. I hope that never has to come to that. However, there are so many opportunities in your day-to-day life where you can choose love as the source and power to speak against injustice, evil, and oppression. May we all have the same courage that Queen Esther had to bear truth to God where God's name is never spoken, that the love of God is what will be revealed in our engagement in the world. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.